You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Worked on a program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a full house on the program today. Mark Lawrence will join us. We're talking baseball. We're talking basketball. We're talking football with Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. Nick Whalen will join us. We're talking DFS, NBA basketball as the season began last night with just two games, and there was a ton that went down. We'll get to that in a moment. Nick Whalen will join us. Have a full slate of NBA basketball tonight for you DFS players out there. Pete Yiannopoulos joins us. We're in a basketball mood this afternoon. Pete Yiannopoulos, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen, RDS television analyst, a regular contributor right here on Game Time Decisions and Fantasy Sports Television and Radio Networks. Pete, very few people know basketball as well as Pete. I can tell we got some great hoop guys, man. You know, Coach Nick, one of the best in the business. Pete Yiannopoulos is great. Paul Povey's a great NBA capper. We have some great NBA guests for as the NBA season has begun. Major League Baseball postseason continues. Got another game at 5 o'clock today. Love that evening baseball early, late afternoon, evening baseball. New York Yankees, man, this thing's getting realer right now. A New York Yankee team that, you know, really wasn't even supposed to be in the playoffs. You know, their process was greatly accelerated this year. You know, and last year due to Sanchez and now Judge, et cetera. But dangerous baseball team, the New York Yankees. These guys are playing house money, and it's not often the New York Yankees are, quote-unquote, the underdogs or the Cinderellas, but that's what they are this year. The Dodgers are anything but a Cinderella, man. 6-0 in the postseason. They're crushing the Cubs right now. I think they're going to sweep them. We'll break it down with Mark Lawrence. We'll get Mark Lawrence's take on this baseball game. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. We haven't, it's pretty crazy, actually. We've been so into football. We're going to get back into football tomorrow. Thursday is always heavy on football. We have the Raiders and the Chiefs on the board, some college football. We've got a bunch of football-related guests on the program on Thursday, so we'll get back on track. But we are going to talk a little NFL football with Mark Lawrence this afternoon. But the NBA is back, and to say that it was an eventful night would be quite the understatement. Now, wouldn't it be? Starting off in Cleveland, Kyrie Irving's return to Cleveland with the Boston Celtics, clearly overshadowed by Gordon Hayward's gruesome injury. Gordon Hayward, of course, left the Utah Jazz to go to the Boston Celtics. Expectations and hopes sky high for the Boston Celtics. Coming into this year, I wasn't completely buying into the Celtics, actually. I was wondering about chemistry issues. You know, on paper, they have a very good basketball team, but it's a cold-ass world, man, and Gordon Hayward is now out. I don't know. I think, you know, he managed to actually, like, break his leg and his ankle, I believe. Like, you know, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. But was it tragic? No. And I'm getting a little sick of this. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just older and meaner. But, you know, guys get hurt, man. Right? The guy's not dead. You want gruesome? You know, Clint Malarchuk slitting his throat on the ice. That was gruesome, okay? That's near death. When a guy breaks his leg, you know, as we speak right now in the city that you live in, somebody just got their leg broken, okay? Somebody got hit by a car. Somebody fell down some stairs. People break their legs. You know, J.J. Watt, oh, my God, it's so tragic that he got injured. No, 600 people getting shot outside of Mandalay Bay is what we call tragic. A professional sports athlete, you know, breaking his leg, doing his job, you know what they call that? Sports. Sports. You know, don't worry about Gordon Hayward, man. The guy's got 185, million pillows to sleep on, and they're called dollar bills. He'll be just fine. Does it suck? Yes. You know, and you listen, Gordon Hayward's a good guy. But at the same point in time, as I stated, the overreaction to these injuries, like, just blows me away. And I know it's kind of controversial to stay, but, you know, and I don't like saying controversial things, as you guys know. I like to keep it real safe. But I'm going to say something that will upset a lot of people now, but I really don't care. You know, anytime a white guy gets hurt, it's a bigger deal. You know, J.J., well, I swear to God, they scraped like five brothers off the turf that night in that football game. One of the dudes on the Chiefs, I thought he was dead, all right? Wilson. They didn't even give you an update after. Well, whatever. If that happens, the football game. J.J. Watt, let's get the, you know, better send the cameras to the hospital, man. Get a camera in the ambulance. I thought I was watching Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns ambulance match. And, you know, they lay it on a little bit thick. They just do. It is what it is. I don't know. Gordon Hayward, he's a good guy. Nobody knows if he's a good guy, but he's a good guy. That's the way this goes. We all know. You know, well, I guess we don't all know. Some of us, you know and some of us realize, and some of us are ignorant about things like this. But the overreaction, I mean, yeah, we get it. He's hurt. Okay. So we hope that Gordon Hayward's rehab goes well. We never cheer for players to get injured. Draymond Green gets injured last night, and nowhere near as big or graphic or anything like that as Gordon Hayward. And Draymond Green, probably not a good guy, actually, to be honest with you. We don't know, but from what we know, he doesn't seem like the nicest guy in the world, Draymond Green. But nevertheless, I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Draymond Green is the most valuable player of the Golden State Warriors. They can lose Curry, doesn't matter. They can lose Durant, doesn't matter. They can lose Thompson, doesn't matter. They have the scores, but what they don't have is any freaking heart when Draymond Green's not on the floor. It's unbelievable how gutless and soft the Golden State Warriors become without this player. He should be the highest paid player on that team, man. You know, we saw it firsthand in the finals. When he wasn't there, they fell apart. Last night, they're up by double digits. He gets hurt. They fall apart. They can't win a damn game, man, without Draymond Green. And, you know, it's actually getting kind of pathetic. Like, you're the Golden State Warriors, man. Are you that fragile that Draymond Green is, like, everything to you? Evidently, yes, and freaking yes. One of my favorite movies of all time is White Man Can't Jump. Great movie. And Rosie Perez has a line in this movie in which she tells Woody Harrelson, sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win, you really lose. And he's like, I don't know what the hell you're saying. I don't understand what you mean by this. And I totally get it. And, you know, she was trying to teach him something because he was a degenerate gambler. And me being a degenerate gambler, I understood what she was trying to say. And you know what? The Golden State Warriors lost the game last night, but so what? They're going to be just fine. The Warriors also lost their first game of the year last year. What does it matter, all right? So the sky isn't falling for the Golden State Warriors. So technically, they lost. Houston Rockets won that game, but did they really win? I got to wonder about Chris Paul, man. He looks real old, and I know he can get better as time goes on, but I got to wonder if Chris Paul actually fits into this up-tempo offense. He wasn't even on the floor last night in the game's remaining moments. When the Houston Rockets coaching staff was asked about this, they said, the guy has one leg. What do you want us to do? He can't play right now. Something to keep your eye on moving forward, specifically tonight, and I got a money line upset special. You know what? It's good to have the NBA back, even though I lost a ton of money last night. It's been pretty freaking crazy, man. We've only played two games. NBA is back, baby. Bring it on. Game time decision on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I'm fired up. We got a great show today. Nick Whalen, RotoWire, is going to join us. Pete Annapolis, RDS Television, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. We got Mark Lawrence stepping up in a second. But first, let us remind you about one of our new sponsors here on Game Time Decisions. Great website, Dober.games. Dober.games. There's no .com or .net or anything like that. Just Dober.games. Fantasy sports got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober.games. No more long lineups, complicated salary caps, wasting hours putting lineups together, worrying about a bunch of MIT nerds beating you with 22,000 lineups. Make any combination of matchup you want. Play quarterbacks, receivers. You can cross sports. And the way it works, you're not putting together a full lineup, guys. They'll have a bunch of players from different sports, and it'll just be fantasy points, over, under, for each player. You just have to pick three players. They're going to pay you 6-1, so think of it like a parlay. It's a fantasy parlay. That's exactly what this is. So you know, you pick three matchups. You get paid 6-1. I like this. You don't have to worry about what anybody else does. I had a pretty good NBA DraftKings lineup last night. I didn't win any money because the guy that I played had a better lineup. I don't like that. I like this just going head-to-head with the matchup itself as opposed to other players. The great format, Dolbert.games. Check it out. We got a promo code for you as well. You get a free contest. That's a punt. All caps, guys. Punt. P-U-N-T. All caps. You can win cash fast and easy at Dolbert.games. Sign up now. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Gabe. I'm going to go log on to DoberGames.com. And you said that password was punt with a P. Is that correct?
I appreciate that, Mark. Yeah, that's right. With a P, I said. Yes.
Right. Okay,
yes,
cool.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Although, yeah, I've thought of other, I might have, but that's another story. A couple of bad beats for me this week, Mark. I got to tell you, man. I was on the Colts. I lost the spread and the teaser on that last play. And then last night, had the Cavs -4. They win by 3. Had the Cavs on a money line parlay with the Golden State Warriors. Lose at the buzzer. And even worse, I had the auxiliary of Durant hitting the shot. Yes. When I saw the shot live, it actually looked like he got it off in time. But you slow it down and the ball was still in his hands. Rough last 2 days for me.
Well, it's what bad beats are all about, Gabe. It's a segment or a show all unto itself. And, when they happen in clusters, just like the injuries to the Giants. They kind of come left, right, and you're staggered a little bit. But being the good handicapper that you are, I know you're going to bounce back, and Lady Luck will be on your side soon.
I appreciate that, Mark. Yeah, left, right. It's like me playing golf, Army golf. Spray the ball right, spray the ball left, and I'm all over the place. All right, let's jump in, because I got a lot of games on the docket today to throw at you, Mr. Lawrence. But I'm not going to put you in the hot seat too much, because a lot of them are correlated to your coffee club this morning. Let's start off with some baseball. Astros and Yankees. Bombers have battled their way back into this series. First thing, I don't like this 2-3-2 format, but it is what it is, and that's what we're playing. So the game's in New York again today. Aaron Judge has come alive over the last couple of at-bats, 3-for-6. Dallas Keuchel's on the hill. He's now 6-2 with a 1.08 earned run average and 8 starts in his career against the Yankees. So, he's in fine form as well. You look at Tanaka's numbers. Tanaka's real good at home, Mark, and I know you're a big home and away split guy. Tanaka 5-1 at home with a 1.29 earned run average. And how about this? Yankees are 18-3 in their last 21 home games.
Yeah. I saw that, Gabe, and I was surprised. 18-3 for the Yankees. I didn't know they were going that good at home, the pinstripes. But look deeper into these numbers against Keuchel and Tanaka. You'll find Tanaka 1-5 in his career team starts against the Astros, 0-3 at home. He's never beat them at home. On the flip side, you talk about Keuchel. He's 6-1 in his last 7 team starts overall, 4-0 his last 4 in the road, and 5-1 in day starts this year. I think the Astros are the better baseball team. Keuchel's the better pitcher here. Tanaka can throw a no-hitter, or he can be out of the game after 2 innings. I'll bet on Keuchel in this baseball game, the better steadier arm.
I like where you're going with that. I like the Houston Astros here as well. And, it is 2-2 right now, but I don't think the Astros are in panic mode. I think some teams might be. Like, oh, my God, we've lost momentum. We're going to be down 3-2. We're in New York. Oh, we're going to go home. We're going to be down. I don't think they are in panic mode. I think they think we're a better team than these guys. We should have won the game yesterday. We've got 2 aces coming up in the next 2 games. And we're going home. We got 2 games at home in our back pocket. So I think they can go out there kind of relaxed as opposed to kind of like we talk about the college football teams. That collar just starts to tighten up. I don't think the collar's tightened up all that much for the Astros, to be honest.
I don't think so either. If Aaron Rodgers were one of those pitchers, he'd tell everybody just relax. You got Keuchel. You got Verlander back-to-back arms getting ready to move this series forward here. I think Houston's in a real nice spot. The Yankees look okay because they're 2-2, but I've seen them choke more often than not. I'm with you. I like the Astros to win this series.
And let's be real. The Yankees just won these 2 games against the weakest pitchers that they're going to throw out there.
Yes, that's true.
That's the thing. You're facing Keuchel. Now you're going to be facing Verlander again. Things are going to get a lot tougher. All right. Dodgers and Cubs. This line surprised me a little bit just because I think the Dodgers should be favored at this point in time, and I have to take the Dodgers because the game's a pick'em here. Dodgers have won all 6 playoff games they played in right now, Mark, and, I'm a diehard Dodger fan, so I live and breathe Dodger history. I've read all the books and the 50s rivalry, and, a real treat for me growing up, too. So a real connection because I'm an Expos guy but a Dodgers guy as well. But, Mark, the Montreal Royals, where Jackie Robinson played before he played for the Dodgers, was the Dodgers farm team, right? So the the Brooklyn Dodgers farm team, guys, was the Montreal Royals. And I'm getting goosebumps right now. There's a statue of Jackie Robinson in Montreal, actually. And Jackie Robinson said, it's the first time I ever ran from white people, with a smile on my face. People used to chase him for autographs in Montreal. It's crazy. So, like, Jackie Robinson in Montreal, very, very special. Like I said, there's a statue there. And, they all played there. Tommy Lasorda. You go down the list. Duke Snyder. Like, they all played there. Like, Duke Snyder was the Expos analyst growing up for me, Mark, because he had that connection to Montreal as well. So, one thing with the Dodgers, so I know their history. They've had some great teams over the years, Mark, going back to the 50s and stuff. They've never won their first six playoff games before. They've never been 6-0. That's really saying something.
Unbelievable. That's a great stat. I wasn't aware of that. And I'm like you. I bleed Dodger blue. As a kid, I used to fall asleep at night listening to the Dodgers by way of KMOX out of St. Louis when they would broadcast.
So you were listening in like the Sandy Koufax and Drysdale era, right?
I was, exactly. In fact, I was listening with a transistor radio under my pillow at night so I wouldn't wake anybody in the family up and listening to the Dodgers games. I used to love the World Series when they pull you out of class to watch those World Series baseball games with the Dodgers. I loved it, them and Frisco, Juan Marichal, that rivalry. So I'm with you. I bleed Dodger blue. And I'm with you in this game tonight as well. You look at Alex Wood here. Great walk-to-strikeout ratio for him. 15 walks, only 2 Ks his last 3 starts. And Arrieta has really been struggling here of late. He's just 1-5 in his career. He's out of his career against the Dodgers team starts, and he's out of form here. I think the wrong team is favored. I think by tonight you'll see the Dodgers going off the favorite in this game.
I really get the feeling this is the Dodgers here, Mark. They haven't won in 29 years, but – remember like how hot they got at one point and they were unstoppable, and then a lot of people, they kind of wrote them off, and they said no team that had lost 13 games in a row had ever won the World Series before, or no team that had lost 13 of 14, etc., had ever won the World Series before. But right now they're back to that. They're not just winning games right now, like they're kicking they look like Alabama of baseball, you know what I mean? Like
they're
crushing the ball, they're striking people out. The Cubs are a good team. And the Cubs are overmatched right now. To me, I think the Dodgers win tonight. I think the Cubs' will is broken, to be honest.
I do, too. That bullpen's falling apart at the seams for the Cubs right now. The Dodgers' bullpen is the strength of its team. Unbelievable.
And, Mark, the Cubs can't even catch balls in the outfield. Like, they're not playing defense now. Like, they've totally fallen apart.
Nope. It's a good thing they won their World Series last year and got that monkey off their back. Yeah. It's not happening this year.
No. And the Dodgers, very, very dangerous team. And it's amazing, Mark. You're old enough to remember this stuff. A lot of people I talk to, kind of, they don't get it. When I tell them, a Dodger-Yankee World Series would just be, from a rating standpoint and everything, New York, L.A., fine. But from a baseball history standpoint, going back to them dumbs and them bums and the boys of summer and the rivalry, and then the Bronx is on fire, and Mr. October, 77, 78, 1981 was the last time. They didn't play, Mark, since 1981, the next they played after that, 2004.
Wow.
Like, they didn't play. Like, people don't realize how special a Dodgers-Yankees rivalry is.
Oh, Brooklyn Dodgers leave town to go to Los Angeles, New York City, appalled by that move. This would be a terrific World Series, unquestionably.
Yeah, but it's going to be Houston. And you know what's going to be Houston? Because, I'm an hour flight from you, Mark. I would go, and I told people, I don't care what it costs. If it's Dodgers-Yankees, Yankee Stadium, I'm going. But it's not going to work, and Houston's a hell of a lot further. And I looked up for tickets, World Series tickets. They got money out there, not oil money, Mark. It's expensive, but they're going for like $1,000. A World Series ticket at Yankee Stadium is $600 for the worst seat. In Houston, it's $1,000.
That's $1,000 to start. Once they get there, the price will probably double, Gabe.
Yeah, so, and I got to fly to Houston. I got to stay in a hotel. What am I doing? Sleep on the street? I don't have that type of money, Mark. I could have pulled off a quick New York trip. Houston's going to be tough for me. And L.A., God knows what it's going to cost in L.A. if they make it to the series.
Hey, thank God for cable TV.
I guess so. All right. So that sounds like we're in agreement here. Let's talk some NBA basketball. And it's amazing, Mark. I swear to God. Last night, I was doing the show, the podcast, and I went over to the NBA games. And the games that you talked about in your coffee club today were all games that caught my eye, and I told people about already. I said, you know what? I love the way the Miami Heat wrapped up the season last year. What were they, 30-11 down the stretch, dominant team. They have the same nucleus coming back right now. They're healthy. They're a confident team. I used to wonder, I used to think Spoelstra was just sort of a ball boy there with LeBron. I was wrong, man, and I'll admit it. This guy's a good coach, and he's a damn good coach.
He's a great coach, Gabe. But let me say this. I'm going to jump in here real quick about Eric Spoelstra. I read a story this morning about him. When he was an assistant on the staff, and I mean the third deep assistant, he didn't even have a suit at home to wear on the bench. He used to wear Pat Riley's hand-me-down suits. And he would wear the same suit 3 and 4 days in a row before Riley loaned him money to go out and buy new suits. But he's a real, real regular kind of a guy, is Spoelstra. They added Kelly Olynyk to this basketball team. He's going to be terrific. He's going to spread offenses. And look for Justin Winslow to improve his game here. I think they're a real sleeper team. They're going to make a lot of trouble this year. The Heat will.
So do I. I like the regular season win total over a lot. Now they get the Orlando Magic, who, on paper, the Magic have some nice young guys, but they've been slow to develop this basketball team. Gordon's a big key if he can take that next step. Peyton's a nice player. They have some nice players, but Miami's a better team. And, courtesy of your database, Mark, a lot of numbers on the Miami Heat side of the ledger here.
Yeah, there are a lot of real good series numbers, a lot of good series opening numbers for the Miami Heat in this basketball game here as well. They're jonesing, they're biting at the bit right now to get out of the gate. They had that great finish, as you mentioned, last year. They added some arsenal to the top three players that they have, Deion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside, Goran Dragic. That's a real nice tandem to begin the basketball season with. Like I say, I think the force will be reckoned with this year.
And we should mention, so courtesy of the database, the Miami Heat are 6-0 straight up and against the spread. Their last six season openers, they've also dominated the Orlando Magic interstate rivalry here. 6-2-1 against the spread last nine trips to the Disneyland world over there. So I like the Miami Heat tonight. It was 3. It's up to 4 right now. You know, it's getting a little higher up there, but I still like it at 4, Mark.
Well, it's there for a reason, Gabe. They're going to be a good team. Orlando's going to be nowhere to be seen when the basketball playoffs begin. It's only the first game of the season, but the move is a correct move.
Every year, the Memphis Grizzlies, people say, I don't know how this team's going to win 30 games. And every year, the Memphis Grizzlies make the playoffs. And then every year, they fire the coach after. It's like rinse and repeat with these guys. So I'm amazed Tisdale's back with this basketball team. But this is the time that I got to say it's going to catch up to them, Mark. And to me, the godfather, Tony Allen, such a big part of that team, that heart and soul that, hey, man, it doesn't matter who's on the team. We're going to do this. You know, he just had that attitude. Randolph was such a big part of that basketball team as well. Vince Carter was a part of that team. They lost, I get it. They're younger. But to me, it finally catches up to them. And, the people are talking about the Pelicans, and it's deceptive because the Pelicans were 11-14 in the post-Cousins trade, Mark. But if you remember, they were like 0-6 out of the gate. They kept losing with him. They weren't healthy. Him and Davis were never on the court at the same time. They lost like the first 4, 5, 6 games with Cousins there. And people were like, oh, look at that, look at that. I remember, Mark, they put it together down the stretch. And I remember Cousins, people were like, oh, he's not going to be happy. Cousins said, watch out next year, man. We're not worried about now. We're going to be ready to go. I know they're a little thin as far as depth is concerned, but with this big three that they have, they're a freaking load to handle. I think they win this game outright tonight.
I think they do too, Gabe. They're going to be real sneaky good, the Pelicans this year, because they're cohesive this basketball season. And you take out that blood and guts out of that Memphis Grizzly basketball team. Tony Allen being, I think, the key. Randolph is tough and, Vince Carter, is he like 60 years old today? I don't know, but the bottom line is he still put points up for them. I think the wrong team's favorite here tonight. I like New Orleans to win this game straight up with you.
How about this? The Grizzlies are 3-13 against the spread last 16 season openers, 1-7 last 8 against the spread as well. 76ers and Wizards up to 7 here. I was kicking the tires on the dog, so I'd like to see your numbers. Wizards 0-7 against the spread last 7 season openers, 1-4 ATS last 5 against this Sixers team.
This Wizards backcourt is as good as it gets in the NBA, this 1-2 tandem they've got here. They're going to be a real, real tough out, I think, especially come playoff time. Philadelphia 76ers, everybody knows they're finally improved. They finally matured. All these number one draft picks they stocked up are now coming to fruition here. They're going to be a good team here. They might even make the playoffs, the Sixers here. But the Wizards right now, I think, are the better basketball team. That's why they're the seven-point favorite.
All right, Mark. So we've got about a minute or two. So two quick NFL thoughts. Chiefs and Raiders in this football game. Raiders in a free fall have lost four consecutive football games. You know, earlier in the week, I was looking at the Chiefs, and I'm like, man, it's only 3 points, only 3 points here. But kind of feels like a little bit of a trap for the Chiefs to me right now.
I think it does in this game here as well. You know, they're free-falling. I guess Tom Petty would be the theme song for this game for the Oakland Raiders coming into this contest tonight. But a real great stat from my database, NFL home teams are 18-8 to the spread in division games when they're off consecutive home losses. That's the role for the Raiders. I think they'll bounce back in this game.
Thing that scares me, Derek Carr 0-5 against the Chiefs. Alex Smith 9-1 in his career against the Raiders with 19 touchdowns and one interception only. Falcons and Patriots, Super Bowl rematch. And, man, the Falcons coming off the blown lead against the Fish. What's your take on this one?
You look at the New England Patriots, defending Super Bowl champions. They're leaking oil, Gabe, badly. They've been outstated their last four games in a row. They've lost the stats 4 out of 5 times this year. The worst defense in the National Football League. You know that Atlanta has this game circled in lipstick. They want this game that bad. The Atlanta Falcons off the loss, I think they get the revenge and knock the Patriots off Sunday night.
Matt Ryan, too, 10-2 against the spread as a non-division dog. Unbelievable. We know the Pats have given up, six quarterbacks and thrown for 300 or more yards. That's an NFL record. Never happened before. But unbelievable, Mark, giving up 441 yards a game on the defensive side of the football. That's a lot of yards right there. We got to get out of here. But check out Mark Lawrence's newsletter, playbook.com. He's one of the covers experts, so he's all over the place. You can find him, but follow him on Twitter. Go over to playbook.com. Thanks for the time, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Enjoy the games. Be good.
Mark Lawrence with us. Nick Whalen joins me next.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
NBA basketball is back, so it's Game Time Decisions. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, so last night I was going to, we talked a little NBA DFS last night. I played a lineup. I'm not going to lie. I didn't put a ton of thought into it. There was only two games. I just sort of wanted to dip my feet into the water last night. I put together a nice lineup. I thought I did, at least. I had 253 points, but Kyle Korver, and that was stupid of me to put Kyle Korver in there, but I needed some cheap options. Swaggy P was a nice pick, guys, and that'll be something interesting to move forward. We'll see if Nick Whalen, what his take on that is, but we had 253 points last night, and one of our guys got absolutely nothing, all right? I didn't have time to put together a lineup for you, but I did see a couple of players I want to focus in on, and I really look forward to seeing who Nick likes tonight, but let's just tell you to head over to dailyroto.com/NBATV. Enter code NBATV, get 10% off DFS kit for expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com. Get that 10% off. It's going to help you. Hell, there's only 24 hours in a day, guys. There's only so much time that we can research. Let the experts help you out a little bit. All right, so I'll go over to dailyroto.com. Let's bring in Roto Wire, a stud right now. Nick Whalen steps up and in. How you doing, Nick? Always a pleasure, my man.
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. It's good to be back on here.
Hey, so let's talk some NBA basketball. Two games out of the gate last night. And, just, like I said at the top, to say it was eventful would be an understatement. It was crazy, strange night last night. But we got a full slate of NBA basketball games tonight on the board. And a player that catches my eye tonight is Damian Lillard. $10,400 over at DK. C.J. McCollum is out of this game tonight because he left the bench. He's suspended for one game. And I'm not the biggest number nerd, but even I know that Lillard's usage rate goes through the freaking roof when McCollum's not there.
Yeah, I mean, his usage rate is through the freaking roof even when McCollum
is. It is, exactly.
So you take McCollum out of the equation. And, you know, I actually was just talking with some guys in Portland last week kind of about this situation. And even when McCollum is there, they're so heavily dependent on those two that, you know, they're one of the deeper teams in the West. They have a bunch of wings who are virtually interchangeable, kind of stretchy guys. But the offense without those two guys is really nothing. And I think we're maybe going to see a little more of Jusuf Nurkic this year, you know, now that he kind of has a full offseason to prepare with these guys. But tonight specifically, it's going to be Damian Lillard. You know, I think $10,400 is a bit steep. He's the second highest priced player on the entire slate tonight behind only Anthony Davis. But, I mean, when you're talking about a guy in a really, really good situation to go out and basically, you know, I think they're going to ask him, we need 35 points out of you or we're not going to win this game. And he has a great matchup, too, against the Phoenix Suns, a team that's improved, that added Josh Jackson in the draft, a guy that I really like. But at the same time, not much has changed in Phoenix. I don't know that they're going to be, you know, a markedly better team this year than they were last year. And I think they're still going to be one of those teams that's just a turnstile on defense.
It's the highest total of the night, too, as well. So the odds makers expecting 219.5 points in his basketball game. So what's the deal with Nurkic? And I tell you what, they stole this guy from Denver, man. Hell of a player. We saw how dynamic he was as a passer, rebounder, shooter. Really, really is a stud. So I know he recovered from the injury, but then did he get a concussion or something? So, like, what's the deal? Is he good to go tonight, full minutes type of stuff? Or, like, what's the deal with this guy? I'm having a hard time finding info.
As far as I'm aware, yes. You know, teams are always so coy about this stuff, especially on opening night. But I would not expect Nurkic to be limited. I mean, he's a guy that from Denver. I think the Nuggets just got so sick of him complaining about his role that they were willing, you know, to kind of take 50 cents on the dollar for him. They got a productive player in Mason Plumlee, but it was pretty clear from about the first 5 minutes that Jusuf Nurkic stepped on the court in Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
That the Blazers had gotten the better end of that deal. I mean, he virtually doubled his production in every category while maintaining the same efficiency from the field after the trade. And you look at that, too. At the end of the year, he was hurt. He came back in the playoffs. He was clearly hobbled. I was surprised, really, that they even let him play against Golden State on what was very clearly gimpy ankle. He's back. He's in the best shape of his life. I mean, as you know, as any NBA fan knows, every player is always in the best shape of their life, allegedly, when they report to training camp. But he's slimmer. He's more agile than ever. And it adds a new dimension to a Portland offense that traditionally, like we said, has relied so heavily on guards and has kind of just, in some ways, punted the center spot and just said, you know, we just need someone here who can finish at the rim, who can pass a little bit. Nurkic does both of those things, but he's a much better one-on-one scorer than anybody that Portland has had at that spot in the last few years.
Yeah, and Denver had Jokic there, right? So they're the same guy already. Yeah, if you're Denver, it's sort of like an ex-girlfriend. When people tell you, man, I saw your ex. Man, she looked good. You know, it's like, you don't want to hear. You're like, I don't want to hear anything about it. That's what the Nuggets are doing. I bet you like the Nuggets GM. They glaze over the Portland box scores. You know what I mean? I don't want to see that. I don't, you know, we don't want to know anything about that. All right, quickly on this one. Devin Booker tonight, see the kid drop 31 in the last preseason game. Mm-hmm. He's in a good matchup tonight, $7,000. You got John Wall's $9,800 tonight. He's another guy that, you know, big-time player on the board. Dennis Smith Jr., I think this kid has a legitimate chance of being the rookie of the year. Dallas don't really have any scores. We saw last year Yogi Ferrell come in and have the green light to shoot. They drafted this kid to shoot the damn ball, and I think he's going to be able to shoot the ball. He's $6,800 tonight. Any interest in Dennis Smith or Devin Booker or Wall or any of these guys?
Yeah, Wall for sure. I mean, we don't really know what this Philly team is going to look like, but I think regardless, you know, Wall over these last couple of seasons, and especially last season, I think solidified himself as a top 10 or a top 15 player and is one of those guys that's virtually matchup proof at this point. Booker's interesting to me. 7,000 seems low, but you know, you do have to remember with Booker that he might be a better real life player than he is a fantasy player at this point, just because he really doesn't do that much, or at least he didn't last year.
All you get is the
outside
points, right?
Basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that? Right, exactly. I mean, he's a guy that's going to get you 20, 25 points, but he might only grab two rebounds. He might only have an assist or two. Kind of a DeMar DeRozan type of game, but with obviously more three-pointers. than DeRozan at this point. But I think the hope is that he develops into more of a playmaking wing for this team. Is that going to happen right away? I don't know. The wild card there with Devin Booker, I like the matchup against Portland, but when he really came into his own over the second half of last season, the Suns were without Eric Bledsoe. He was shut down. He had the knee issue, you know, only played virtually half the season. Bledsoe's back healthy, and before he got hurt, I mean, he was averaging 21 points a game, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Like, he was a guy who in the Eastern Conference might have been a legitimate all-star candidate. So, you know, how Booker kind of reintegrates with Eric Bledsoe, who in my opinion is still probably the best overall player on this team, is something to watch, because we really haven't seen those guys on the court together in quite some time.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes left, so let's talk about a couple of players that Nick has circled for this evening. Jeremy Lamb tonight. Joel Embiid, there's been a lot of talk about his minutes as of late. You're taking a look at the Nuggets point guards, Emmanuel Mudiay or Jamal Murray. Malone hasn't officially announced a starter yet there. Kelly Oubre was a guy, I used to take him almost every game. Just quietly slide in there, give me 25 DK points, you know what I mean? Kelly Oubre, Otto Porter on the board tonight. So tell us about the guys you like tonight, and which one of these guys you like the most?
You know, I hate to say it, but probably Jeremy Lamb. I mean, he's a guy that's really been a disappointment since he came into the league out of UConn. And it sounds crazy to say, but in some ways, he was the pick that was kind of the centerpiece of that James Harden deal that ended up landing him in Houston. And obviously, he hasn't lived up to that. But you just look at situationally, I don't know that there's a guy who gained more value based on an injury. I mean, Nick Batum's going to be out for a while.
Yeah.
And then the Hornets, especially among, you know, playoff contending teams in the East, might have the least depth of any team in the backcourt. I mean, beyond Jeremy Lamb, all of a sudden it's Malik Monk, who's a rookie and a guy that no one's really quite sure how ready he'll be. And then you're getting into guys who are basically D-leaguers. So I think by default, Jeremy Lamb is going to end up playing a ton of minutes for this team while Nick Batum is out. They're going to have to reshuffle things. Marvin Williams maybe moves down, plays a little more small forward. But there's really no two ways about it. Jeremy Lamb's going to play a lot of minutes. And the nice thing about DFS is field goal percentage isn't an issue. Jeremy Lamb is a guy who can fill it up. He can have those games where he gives you 5 or 6 rebounds, a couple assists. But his issue is just he hasn't been that efficient. So
I like
season-long
that. Imagine,
formats, he's not quite.
Yeah, imagine if we got penalized for that. Like, we lost a half a point for every shot missed. That'd make it interesting.
Exactly.
Like, last night, people were, like, all praising Harden. 27 points. He took 23 shots, man.
Right.
Like, he took
two. Yeah, same goes for Dwayne Wade. Same goes for Derrick Rose. Same goes for Marcus Smart. I mean, that is something I do like about DFS, is you can just kind of worry about the compiling and not about the efficiency.
Okay, listen, we're going to get the hook here in about a minute, so let me quickly ask you. I don't think Chris Paul plays tonight. I don't know if there's anything officially announced. He couldn't finish the game last night. They said, no, he's in bad shape. I don't expect him to play tonight. It wouldn't be smart. He's older. I don't think he's going to play. And I look at this game tonight. I think Sacramento can win this game outright, actually. They're a dangerous team. They got better down the stretch. I like the pickups that they made. There could be a little bit of chemistry issues. I don't know if Randolph is going to play. I guess he had some teeth issues or something in his game. But nobody is listed higher than $5,900 on the Sacramento Kings tonight. And in a game that could be, you know, it's going to be pretty high scoring, I got to get me some Sac love tonight. Which one of these guys would you take on Sacramento?
Like, this situation is such a mess right now. I mean, their first preseason game, they basically rolled out the veteran lineup, and then the next game they came back with the younger lineup, and it really is unclear what's going to happen there. But to me, the most stable of the options in the backcourt is George Hill. You know, I think Buddy Hield is probably second, and then De'Aaron Fox, and Fox is actually the highest priced of those three. But I like George Hill. I think he kind of toes the line between being a veteran and a younger guy, and to me that means he probably has the biggest role. He can play both guard spots, whereas Fox can't really play off the ball and Hield can't really play on the ball. So to me, it's George Hill. But like you said, all these guys are great value plays. If you pick the right one, that could end up being the difference for your lineup.
All right, Nick, it's always a pleasure, man. I look forward to talking more basketball with you. NBA editor, rotowire.com. Thanks for the time, Nick.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime, man.
There's Nick Whalen with us. Take a quick break. We'll continue talking basketball. Pete Annapolis joins me next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm Gabriel Renz. Let's talk some more NBA basketball. One of my favorite guests, Pete Annapolis, RDS television analyst, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. Let's talk some NBA ball, Pete. It's always a pleasure, bro. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Game one of 82. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's only two games last night. There's about 13 storylines to come out of these games, but whatever. We know Gordon Hayward got hurt. All right, let's move on. What can we say? We wish the guy the best of luck moving forward. But I remember what Ted Teeven used to say. You know, you're not going to people don't tune in to hear what happened. They want to hear what's going to happen. So let's talk about the T-Wolves and the Spurs tonight. Because tonight this is one of the games. I think this is the most interesting game on the board this evening. A new-look Minnesota Timberwolves team. Do you think it'll take any time? Do you think there'll be chemistry issues with this basketball team? With Towns, Wiggins, Teague, Gibson, and Butler, now the starting five.
Yeah, you know, the expectations are definitely heightened and raised if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, and specifically Tom Thibodeau and that massive contract he got to coach and be the president of the team. Last year, they really disappointed. People thought that last year with Towns and Wiggins, and you know, they had LaVine and they had some young guys, they were getting Rubio, and they were going to be a little bit better. They did not even come close to making the playoffs. They get Butler. I'm not the biggest Jimmy Butler fan. I think that he's a really good player. He's not a superstar, but he brings an element of toughness, and I think he knows Thibodeau's system, and he could play extensive minutes, and the rotation with Thibodeau will be shortened because that's the way he rolls. Teague, I like. He brings some veteran explosiveness at the point guard position. He could get his shot off. Obviously, can they get the ball to Towns on a consistent basis, and is he really the next Patrick Ewing, David Robinson type of center, or is he a guy that's just going to give us maybe 15 and about 10 and play his role, right? That's where I see, is Towns really the guy, and is Wiggins going to take that next step
That
max player?
I saw them in person last year, and I had good seats. So I was up close. I was essentially courtside for a T-Wolves game last year against the Raptors, and I was really surprised how fundamentally defunct they were, actually, for a Tom Thibodeau team, and how individualistic they were. It was almost, it's almost like a couple, Pete. You know, you could be lying in bed together, but you're really, like, miles apart in your head, you know what I mean? And it was weird like that with the T-Wolves. I'd see them, and it was like, you know, Wiggins and Towns are 5 feet away from each other, but it was like they were in completely different worlds. It's like, there was no ball movement. It was sort of like, okay, now it's my turn. All right, well, I got the ball. Now I'm going to isolate now. And then it was Towns. They really just sort of rely on each individualistic, you know, skills, and they can sort of get away with it. But they didn't seem to be a cohesive team, actually. And like you said, I think Jimmy Butler's slightly overrated in the sense. I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is. But at the same point in time, he is the type of guy that they need. He's the type of guy that'll get mad if people aren't hustling. Wiggins isn't that guy. Towns isn't that guy. Rubio wasn't that guy before. Now Butler, VCU, kind of a street type guy. He's going to bring that element of guys, you know, you got to play a little tougher here, man. Because there was no accountability. I think that's the best way of putting it. There was no accountability before.
No, excellent point. And I think the other guy you mentioned earlier, Taj Gibson, comes over. Yeah. He's the same type of leader. Rugged, gritty, tough player that they need that they didn't have last year. And when you talk about individualistic guys, you got a guy in Shabazz Muhammad on that second unit who's averaging 0.1 assists in his career. I mean, it's funny. I mean,
0.1 like, assists.
After every game last year, I think I tweeted about 72 times, Shabazz Muhammad with zero assists once again. I think he got upset at me. But at the end of the day, like you said, Butler, Gibson bring that element of toughness. Let's see the maturation process here of Wiggins, Towns. And I think that Jeff Teague is going to bring a different dynamic. Even though I like Rubio because he likes to facilitate for these guys, I think Teague is more of a veteran present. Goedeke Jang is going to have his development there inside.
I like that Teague will take it to the rack. That's something Rubio wouldn't do, right? So
exactly.
He'll take it to the rack. That's
right?
2 points. He can get you the points. And when him taking it to the rack, he can kick it out to someone for a three as well, more than Rubio could. Rubio just didn't want to take it to the rack. He wanted to give it up and sort of stand at the key.
Well, that's what you need. Like I mentioned, end of clock situations, right? You need a guy who could come off the high ball screen and who could really get the defense and keep them honest. And I think T could finish at the rim, or he can get fouled and he can make his free throw. So I think the cohesiveness of this unit, can they play collectively together? It's going to take some time, but I think, hey, they have a chance here, because when you look at the Western Conference, right, you got Warriors, and then you got anywhere between 2 and 4. You know, Houston, Spurs, and Oklahoma City. From the 5 to 8, Minnesota could get that 5 spot over, like, the Clippers, Portland, Denver. Take your pick. So I think Minnesota has a chance to maybe slide into that 5th hole and get back into the playoffs, what they haven't done in a lot of years.
You're right, Pete. And you know what? That's the way Vegas sees it as well. You know, the Warriors are overwhelming favorites. The Rockets and the Spurs and Oklahoma City. And then there's sort of that drop-off in the odds with Minnesota in that Tier 2 group. So as far as San Antonio is concerned, we only got about 2 minutes here, Pete. But in Las Vegas at the Superbook, the Westgate Superbook, it's pretty much the Vatican of sports books. They took more action on the San Antonio Spurs to win the title than any other team. So the bettors think there was value with the Spurs, and I don't see this. So what's your quick take on this team? They did nothing to get younger here or more athletic in the offseason. They did nothing in free agency. In fact, they lost Dedmon, who provided a little spark off the bench. You know, okay, Murray, the kid out of Washington, he's going to play more, so he's a nice athlete. But to me, they're an aging team. They're not athletic enough. I don't get the love for the Spurs right now. I think they're going to be in a regression. I think the T-Wolves win this game tonight.
I think, you know, for the last 7 to 8 years, it's been always, okay, the decline of the Spurs will happen. And every single season, they would win 60 games, and they'd either make the NBA Finals or win it, or they would be one of the better teams in the NBA. I think you can never count out the Spurs, and I think that Popovich is a great coach. I think that sometimes he gets a little bit too much credit, because Duncan is one of the 5-7 best players of all time. And then you had Ginobili and Parker in their prime, incredible. But I think that this year, I mean, with Kawhi being hurt, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, right? Paul Gasol, Danny Green, Patty Mills, these guys are older players. I just don't see it in the playoffs how they could really take it to the next level. I know Kawhi got hurt last year against Golden State. Yes, they were up by 20 points, but they weren't beating the Warriors. And I don't think that Kawhi is a guy that could take you to the next level by himself. I think that this is a game, again, you mentioned DeJounte Murray. I mean, they're trying to get some younger guys into the mix, but they don't have that many. I think finally this is the year where the Spurs, I have them finishing fourth. I think that the decline will happen now. When is Tony Parker, if he's going to come back, he won't be that same player that he was before. Same thing with Manu. But I think they'll still be a great ball movement. They'll still be able to win a lot of games. But I think if there's a statement game, if you're a franchise trying to get your fan base revitalized, rejuvenated, get them energetic, this is the game that they got to win tonight if you're the T-Wolves, and I think they have the ability to do so.
Pete Annapolis, RDS Television. Always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks for the time.
All right. See you guys soon.
We'll come back with our plays of the day, and we've got a lot of them.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Time. time for our plays of the day. We've got a lot of them now that the NBA is back. Let's start off with some afternoon slash early evening baseball. Tough game, man. The Yankees have a lot of momentum. They're actually 18-3 their last 21 home games, man. And Tanaka's 5-1 at home, so it makes perfect sense to take the Houston Astros. I like Dallas Keuchel in this spot. I think it's going to be a lower scoring baseball game as well. Give me the Astros. Give me under 7.5. You know, the LA Dodgers and the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Dodgers franchise has never won their first six playoff games before. That's incredible considering how good they've been in past years. Make it 7 in a row. Dodgers bust out the brooms. Hurry, hurry, hard, hard. Sweep, sweep, sweep. Dodgers win. Total's 9.5. I got to go under, even though the wind's blowing out. NBA is back. Last night, we got screwed over hard, man. Tonight, we win. Lay the points with the Miami Heat, -4. We're going to take the 7 points with the Philadelphia 76ers. We're going to trust the process tonight, baby. All right, the Pelicans. You know, the Grizzlies are 1-7 against the spread their last 8 season openers. They're actually 3-13 against the spread their last 16. Grizzlies lost a lot of talent. Pelicans are healthy. Give me the Pelicans +2. T-Wolves, statement game. They get it done at San Antonio tonight. Upset special. Houston won last night. Big letdown for them. We're going to take the Kings plus the points and on the money line. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.